listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Always good to be here, RJ, on a busy Friday, and we start with the NBA playoffs here on Straight Outta Vegas, where last night the Golden State Warriors took a 2-1 series lead with a 132-105 pounding of the LA Clippers. RJ, what's the Vegas perspective on what we saw last night at Staples Center?
You know, sometimes it's just easy. It really is just easy, and that scares me when it seems that way.
Gambling? Who said anything about gambling? It's not gambling when you know you're going to win.
Brad came in, college expert, says, oh, Golden State's going to be motivated. We've been talking all year that Golden State's ebbs and flows, highs and lows, are wider than any team in the NBA. They feel like they can take a game off, even in the playoffs. But boy, Durant was challenged. Lo and behold, Golden State makes it look easy. Brad, does it, when you win a game that easily, do you feel good? Or does it feel like almost like in a movie? You know, like there's a movie a lot of people haven't seen called The Boost. You might remember it was Michael Keaton in the 80s was playing this guy. He was living fast. Sean Young was his wife. LA real estate. But then he finds a little white powder called cocaine. And he says, oh my gosh, this makes me feel good. I feel a little better when I do this. But you know, you look at the movie and says, that's about 100 minutes. You know that the fall is going to come. When you're laying lumber on the road to the NBA with the champions, you and Freddie Fanny Pack are on the same side. How'd you feel?
Well, I felt good. I cashed a ticket.
Oh, but that's it, huh? There's no...
No, I know full well that I can't do that every night and come out a winner.
But I'll tell you this, Fez. I would say if you were asked, if you were to give one golden rule handicapping Golden State, do they have clear motivation? If so, bet them. Could you say this is a flat spot? If so, bet against them in between pass. My gut feeling is you do pretty well with that, just that approach.
Agreed. It's just that easy. Think about the regular season when Golden State wasn't covering game after game, except RJ, when they played Denver, and Denver and Golden State were fighting for the number one seed. Whammo, Golden State crushes Denver in their last two games of the regular season to wrap up that number one seed. Same thing here. They were motivated off that game two loss.
That's Steve Fezzik. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas, recapping yesterday's NBA action, starting with Golden State. I'd say the following. My best bet in this game on Durant over the points, that's one I think there's a lesson to be learned from. So the points were about 26.5. We know all the professional talkers were talking about Beverly, Durant saying, you know who I am. And we thought, we've got a motivated Durant to put up some points. Now, you might say, yeah, but you're going to pay a premium on that. We looked at the numbers. This season, and the odds were over under 26.5 points. We said over. That feels square, too. Let's be honest. Freddie Fanny, hey, he's going to try really hard. Bet him over. That seems a little simple to me. But then we looked at the numbers. In the games, Cousins did not play, which was just a different dynamic for Golden State. Was applicable last night. Durant went over 26.5 points, 28 games, and didn't go over 24. So 28 over, 24 under. So now you're saying even without motivation extra, Durant typically goes over 26.5 this season without Boogie on the floor. You add in the extra motivation, you think that's an easy one. Not that it's going to win all the time, but it's going to make money long term. And then you might say, wait a minute, I thought it wasn't easy to bet beat Vegas. It's easy to bet, not easy to beat. Here's what I would say, though. And we've had many bookmakers we've talked to that explains this. These kind of props have a low limit. So, Fez, let's say I said, this baby, I am not uncertain, as Bobby Axelrod would say, the axe. And I was certain on something. How much could I get down through you if you really made the effort on Durant over, let's say, last night?
Well, over 26.5, just about 1,500.
Okay, but let's say I was willing to go to 27. You know, I wasn't that worried about a half a point.
Okay, probably again, only probably up to 7,000, RJ. Nickel limits at a whole bunch of places.
Yeah, so 7,000 is a lot. First off, let's make it clear. 7,000 is a lot of money. But the syndicates, the biggest bettors in the world, the organizations, they bet 7,500,000 a game. They don't mess around with something where they could get down 7,000 if they were lucky. So in a weird way, what the bookmakers have done is say, we're going to keep the limits fairly low on things like Durant over points. And we're just going to use the algorithm. We're just going to have a little Excel spreadsheet that tells us the average of Durant, the median, however they're going to approach it, 26.5. And then we'll let the bettors tell us if we got the wrong number. If there's a bunch of overs, we'll move up to 27, 28, whatever. I'd say the following. These kind of good bets are repeatable because the biggest bettors are not involved in these markets. The bookmakers don't spend as much time. They're a little more follow the formula. And because of that, when you find a spot where you think you have a real strong handicap, like Durant's motivation, I think even if it's obvious, and even if the betting market doesn't seem to be accounting for it, that usually scares me. In the NFL, if I feel like I've got an angle and the betting market's ignoring it, I'm going to triple check to make sure I trust that angle. Here, I think the markets are not liquid enough to really, for us to know for sure if we're right or wrong. That's when we think we're right, we bet with aggression. Would you agree with that, Fed?
Agree strongly, friend of the show, The Hitman. You know, he loves making this sort of bets. And here's a guy that's able to hit right around 60% on bets like this, on player props. 60% just is not sustainable. Betting games against the spread, much more difficult.
Yeah, we gave you that nice one on Durant over yesterday. And we'll keep looking at these player props. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Last thing on Golden State. Colin Cowherd, The Herd, Fox Sports Radio, personal friend, mentor, starts to show. I usually say that when I'm going to be a little critical, by the way. Starts to show. I mean, it's not Jonas-style criticism, we'll call him, but, right. You know, we try to be objective. About Durant, there is now greatness. This is a quote. There's now greatness, and there's Durant, who is above greatness. And I think if we were playing like some game in our dreams, you know, if you were a huge basketball fan and you had 45 seconds to live and you're on your deathbed and you're just, and through the grace of God, you get 45 seconds of euphoria of a life unlived. You could, if you could have been a basketball player, maybe that player is Durant. Because I think at his best, he might be the platonic ideal of a scorer at minimum. He can shoot over anybody. He can back you down. FDR, you know, who was paralyzed with polio, used to have, you know, where that time right before you fall to sleep, and it like you're half dreaming. He used to try to encourage that, and he had a fantasy. He was sled riding and walking, you know, up the hill, and it was a way for him to experience something he couldn't. I could see Durant being that basketball player. But boy, oh boy, if you look at the numbers, it just feels like there's a big unanswered question. If this guy is Durant the best player in the NBA, or even one of the couple best, then how are these numbers for Golden State what they are? Now, this is coming from pregame.com research. When Steph is off the floor in the last three seasons, so during the Durant era, Golden State is 24-23. When Durant is off the floor, Golden State is 30-10. Now, I get it. That's not the end of the conversation, but you've got a team that when Curry plays, I mean, think about Golden State's record the last 3 years, and now you subtract out of 24 and 23 when Steph's out, what's their record? Is it probably 90%, right? We could take a look at that and talk about it after the break. But if you're 50% without Steph over 47 games, and you're 75% without Durant over 40 games, I'm not saying you can't be the best player in the world, but boy, doesn't that leave a big question mark?
I think you can definitively say that Steph is more important to Golden State than Durant.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Guys, the Philadelphia 76ers have taken a 2-1 series lead over the Brooklyn Nets. 131-115 was the final last night. No Joel Embiid, no problem for Ben Simmons and company.
That's been the narrative. And remember, Jonas is the love child of the talk radio industrial complex. I tell you, Fez, I love it when your numbers contradict the narrative, because I've been hearing, oh, Ben's showing, you know, Embiid and Ben Simmons have some conflict. Without Embiid, Simmons steps up to show who Philly should really anchor their future to. But the numbers, they don't back it up.
No, the numbers completely contradict it. Without Embiid this year, the 76ers.
So this season only.
This season only, RJ, mediocre team, 8-10 straight up without Embiid. He missed 18 games.
Now, with Simmons, did Simmons play all 18 of those?
I played most of them. I don't have the exact number.
Okay.
And they only won one game all year without Embiid by double digits until, of course, last night.
Okay, so there was 18 games prior to last night without Embiid. One time the Sixers won by double digits.
Last game of the year, yes.
The last game of the year.
Yeah, the throwaway game.
So you're saying with 81 games in, Embiid had 17 games he missed. Zero times the Sixers won by double digits.
Zero blowout wins without him. Yep.
The first 81 games of the year. Now, in the playoffs, in a game three, in which I picked Brooklyn, let's make that extra, I'm taking this personally, you might say, somehow Philadelphia wins by double digits. Now, it could mean a couple of things. One, Philadelphia is just playing so well they don't need Embiid. They just lost their first game, though, with him of the series. Or it could be, boy, this Brooklyn team, they showed in game one, but they're not a very good team.
Yeah, downgrade Brooklyn. That was my conclusion.
And think about why we're doing that, guys. It's because Philadelphia was in a spot where they hadn't dominated for the first 81 games of the season. And now in the playoffs, when the stakes are even higher, they dominated that spot being without Embiid. And thus, to me, it feels like it's more about the opponent. Down arrow, Brooklyn.
We next go out to the Western Conference, where the 7 seed, the San Antonio Spurs, have a 2-1 series lead over the Denver Nuggets. 118-108 the final last night in San Antonio.
Now, this spread last night told a story. We always say every spread tells a story. And that story, what was the spread? 4.5?
4.5, Spurs favorite.
Typical home court advantage for the Spurs?
3.5-4.
So you're saying the Spurs were considered to be the better team, the 7 seed over the 2 seed.
Yeah, now this is a shocker. Think about it, with Denver with that significantly better record. But I do believe right now that the Spurs are indeed the better team. And what happened last night, RJ? Denver lost by 10. Denver, normally when we blame a team's loss on bad three-point shooting, Denver was great from three-point land. 15-31, they made almost half their threes. They still got blown out.
Yeah, so at this point, you have the Spurs with a higher power rating?
I do. And the Spurs,
now, what was the power rating difference entering the playoffs?
I had the Spurs worse by 1.5.
So three games, there were 82 games to get that power rating. Because here's what I know. We talked in the first segment how Freddie fanny pack. Now, who's Freddie? His name's Freddie. He's got a fanny pack. He's got a big belly. And he eats Twinkies on a stick, deep fried, right? That's all you need to know about Freddie. You don't want to bet with him. I'm thinking Freddie's overreacting. Freddie's saying, Spurs got to be better. Pop, pop. That's Freddie. You're doing the same thing.
I think Pop is a whole lot better than Malone.
But you didn't think that 3 games ago.
Well, remember, I did pick the Spurs to win the series outright, so...
No. Whoa. What did you say you thought the difference between the Spurs and the Nuggets was 3 games ago?
I had them a point and a half, the Denver better in my power ratings.
And now after 3 games...
Now I have the Spurs the better team.
Doesn't that seem like a big reaction?
No, I think it's a proper reaction to the...
To 3 games.
Well, the second game, I think Denver could easily have lost that game, too. They could be down 0-3, and we wouldn't even be having this conversation. We'd all agree.
First of all, teams can be down 0-3 and be better teams.
Yeah, it's true, but it doesn't happen often.
I don't know, Brad. What do you think?
Tampa Bay, Columbus? We throw away the whole regular season? Columbus should have been favored.
That's hockey. Tampa Bay.
What does that mean?
Hockey's random in the playoffs, seemingly.
That is true. That's an interesting debate we'll have another day, which is how much luck is the right amount of luck? Because some would say the NBA has too little luck. The best team wins so often, sometimes it feels like a foregone conclusion. But in hockey, where we've had 8 seeds literally make the finals, have they won it before? I know they've made the finals 8 seeds.
Yeah, I want to say that the LA Kings won as an 8 seed, if I'm not mistaken.
So now here's the question. The perfect amount of playoff participants, is the first team left out shouldn't have a viable chance to win it. Because if they did, they should be in the postseason, right? That's why I think, quite frankly, as much as I love the NCAA tournament, it's probably too many teams because... You could make the case that half those teams don't have a chance to win it. So now the question is, why are they in it if you can't win it? That could be a metaphysical thing for life. To me, if an 8 seed can win it or make the finals, then that means that 9th seed maybe could have won it or made the finals. Maybe too much luck in hockey. Interesting conversation.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We're Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. We've got a Game 3 in the NBA playoffs tipping off a little over 10 minutes from now. It's in the Eastern Conference where the Raptors are at the Magic right now. The series tied at 1 apiece, and Toronto is a 5.5-point favorite.
Steve Fezzik, NBA expert.
Yeah, I lean to Orlando here plus the 5.5. Orlando's been a much better team late in the year. They're currently on a 23-10 straight up run, 21-12 against the spread. The markets have not corrected enough for how much better Orlando's been playing.
Okay, so what you're saying is if you look at the season numbers, Orlando's at a certain level. You look recently at a higher level. But what's fundamentally changed? Because in general, it could just be ebbs and flows, or did something change with Orlando?
Yeah, they picked up a backup point guard, Michael Carter-Williams. He's playing excellent ball. He's really helped them. And they had a rookie, Mo Bamba, who was a complete stiff, playing terrible. And Mo Bamba got hurt. It actually helped the team.
All right, so just a lean, though, not a bat on Orlando.
Guys, at 8:30 Eastern time, rather, it's the Celtics at the Pacers. This is on ABC. Boston, a 2-0 series lead. Indiana, a 3-point favorite in this one.
ABC Boston, what's that mean?
On ABC.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
National, yeah.
Ah, no, I just thought it was just a local broadcast of the Celtics game.
No, believe it or not.
All right, so big game here, Fez. Boy, this number and your numbers... Conflict.
Absolutely. You know, I have Boston 5 points better on a neutral site.
Now, let's think about that. Indiana, Boston plays in New York City, Madison Square Garden. You've got all things equal, Celtics favored by 5.
If they played in away, yeah, away from both home courts here.
So if they played you do realize Madison Square Garden's not a home court for either team, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
So by... he's like Rain Man. He really is. I mean,
we're counting cards.
All right, now. So we agree with
I'm
that.
I'm with you. Yeah,
you follow it.
Yes.
Steve Fezzik, RJ Bell, Straight Out of Vegas. Now, home field for the Pacers is what?
Give them 4.
Okay. And oh, by the way, Pacers are down
0-2, must win spot.
So, I mean, this is it for the Pacers. What should the line be based on your numbers?
Give the Pacers 2 extra points of incentive. I still only make Indiana minus 1, pricing in all that motivation.
So pricing in home court, pricing in it's a must-win game 3, and 2 is a lot. What's the line?
Indiana minus 1 point.
Okay, that's your line. What's the current market line?
Boston's catching 3, and I will bet plus 3. I like it.
All right, so this is one. So the line's 3. What was it a little earlier today?
It's been 2.5 to 3 all day long.
Okay, I thought it was even a little higher.
It just dropped down to 2.5, by the way. Sorry to interrupt, guys.
Oh, okay. So Fez says he likes Boston. Boom, the line moves. This is live now. So what you're saying is you just fundamentally think the difference in these teams is greater. Now, I've been on the other side. I've been on the Pacers thinking, hey, they had a flat spot after the big injury, and then they played pretty well. Then they had a flat spot. I thought they'd reset. Market tends to agree with me. You're betting the other way. You've got the Celtics, and you bet them at 3.
Yes.
The Oklahoma City Thunder are down 2 games to none to the Portland Trail Blazers. They will tip off at 9:30 Eastern time on ESPN, and OKC is an 8-point favorite.
All right, Fez. So we've already established you bet OKC before the series, laying a minus number on a road team. That was bold. Game 1, they lost. We thought, is Fez going to be concerned? Comes in, howdy doody smile, we're fine. 3-pointers, he's just blah, blah, blah. Game 2.
Missed the 3-pointers again.
Blah, blah, blah. And then he said, you know something? I don't give a care. I'm betting an extra couple thousand on OKC to win the win the series. And he tweeted out the ticket. Now it's game 3. We've already said you're putting your child's welfare at risk, perhaps, by being so heavy on OKC. What are you doing in this individual game?
This individual game, I did wind up passing just because the point spread is so high here at -7.5 to -8 on Oklahoma City.
And how about the first half?
On the first half, it's up to -6. I'll lean to the first half -6.
So you're not betting the first half?
I am not.
At that number. Brad, you are.
Yeah, I like OKC here. I know I'm paying a premium.
In the first half.
In the first half, -6. We just mentioned it. But RJ, we've been paying a premium on the first half the last 3 years, and yet this first half trend is on a 24-4 run the last 3 postseasons. I'll take OKC -6. I like it. I bet it.
Oh, yeah. This is straight hip-hop.
I mean, he says he doesn't care, even though the line should... Brad Power says the line should be 3.5 here in the first half. I don't care. Straight hip-hop. I'm laying the 6 like numbers don't matter. I got to be honest. I think this thing's out. I think there's too much of a premium. I'm going to pass. We'll see who's right on Monday.
If you missed any of today's show, you can check out the podcast at foxsportsradio.com. The Odd Couple is next. We are Straight Out of Vegas, back on Monday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight Out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.